you, Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'd like to thank the pastor, as always, for this opportunity to stand before you. God is just amazing. So, well, first of all, let me thank my wife for her prayers, continued prayers and support. She looks at me sometimes. You're still up studying? And I know she prays for me, and I thank you. So a few months back, I was really struggling praying. I don't know if you know what that's like. I was praying and I'm praying and, you know, I go through my normal routine early in the morning, whatever. I'm praying. And it's just, it's not like it was a weight on me, but just, I can't describe it, but I just couldn't seem to get in the flow. And I hate to use the word feel right, because it's not about feeling, but if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. You pray, and this went on day after day, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Anyway, it was during this period that I remembered Pastor Thompson mentioned a book by E.M. Bounds on prayer. And so I looked, and I had downloaded it a while back on my Kindle, and I thought, okay, well, Lord felt like the Lord's prompted me to go ahead and read it. Well, it was as good a time as any. And the name of the book was The Complete Collection of E.M. Bounds on Prayer. So I'm about a third of the way through that book. And let me tell you, all I can say is, wow, it is really transforming how I think about who I am, in God, and about the impact God wants to have through me. See, it's like this. I can either try to do things my own way, try to work through my own problems, situations, figure out my bills, different problems and issues that come up, and let Satan devour me, eat me up. Because that's what will happen. He goes to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Easy for you to say. I found this particular verse particularly amazing. I think I gave them this verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9. As Satan goes through looking about, seeking whom he may devour, 2 Chronicles says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal toward him. So while Satan's looking, trying to devour me, God's looking, I want to bless. I want to deliver. I want to use. And how do I get in that position? I pray. I raise my hand. Lord, pick me. Choose me, Lord. Use me to glorify your name. Use me, Lord, to impact my family. He's looking. But unless I raise my hand through prayer, unless I really seek him. But this isn't a book report on that particular book. But man, I'm putting you on notice. In the coming weeks, we're going to start having our Bible studies are going to be on prayer. Amen. I know this is a praying church, but I've been learning some things that I didn't know. And you'd think, well, I should know these things. No. And that's coming up in the near future, man, so be ready for this. Speaking of Bible study, so tonight's lesson is called Ask of Me. Amen. And it's about prayer. But, okay, now, let me back up a minute. When we talk about prayer, what does it mean to pray? Now, we kind of, if I ask us, we probably know what it means, but I want to make sure our level sets, we're all on the same page. Prayer has, there are a lot of different characteristics of prayer, but I'm going to mention three, and I'm going to focus on one particular one. One of the characteristics of prayer is it denotes motion towards God, an ascension toward God. This doesn't happen instantaneously. And notice it says it's like a motion toward God. All of a sudden, There's a law in physics that says a body at rest tends to stay at rest. And you've got to overcome that initial inertia. Prayer is just like that. I don't feel like praying. I don't think I'll pray today. I'll pray later. You have got to make that move toward God. Another characteristic of it. Now, we can go on about each one of these, but I just want to touch on that one lightly. Another one is supplicate. It means to ask earnestly, kind of like from a lower position, seeking to win the favor, approval of one who's higher than you. And another aspect is worship. And we could talk all night about that one. But the characteristic I want to focus on tonight is asking. That's pretty much when you think about prayer, people automatically think about asking. But I think that's probably the one area we struggle with the most is asking. So what does it mean to ask? Remember, this is a Bible study, so feel free to take notes, okay? This is really important as we go through this. So to ask means it's simply to make a request. You know, to ask someone to give you something. Can you give me $5? No, really, can you give me $5? Or would you go wash the dishes? You know, you ask, that's a request, that's an ask. Or ask means to inquire, as in seeking knowledge. How do I get to the mall from here? Or, you know, where did I put my keys? An inquiry. Another word, or another definition for the word ask, means to make a demand. I was like, And demand means you're not expecting a refusal. And you're not going to accept a refusal because you're making a demand. This typically comes from like an authoritative figure, like a police officer, for example. Pull over. That wasn't really a request, so to speak. I mean, it's an ask, but we're going to go into more about that a little bit later on. And I think the word ask is so important right about now because we're entering the Christmas season. And if you haven't yet, you will be hearing a lot of asking. What are you getting me for Christmas? Have you done your Christmas shopping yet? What are you going to buy? You haven't heard those questions? This time of year, it seems like it's all about asking. Personally, it gets tiring to me. It's always, you know, it feels so draining. It's personally, I think it's because I can't satisfy these demands. You're asking me for this. I can't afford all of this. I don't have the money for this. Or I'm afraid I'll disappoint you because I can't give you what you want or what have you. So this really wears me out. And it's like, man, I want to run and hide. See you in the new year. But I noticed Jesus has a totally different approach to asking. See, now we're getting to our Bible study. There are several Greek words for the word ask. And so tonight, all the scriptures that we're going to look at, the particular Greek word is number 154. It's in the concordance 154. I looked it up online, looked it up in my manual hard copy. So if you have a concordance, 154. The word I believe is pronounced as ateo. I might be mispronouncing it, but look it up. It means to ask, to beg, call for, desire, require. But it's also used strictly as a demand for something due. Now the scriptures I want to mention, you know, we're real familiar with, but the point I'm making is Jesus was constantly, seemed like, encouraging his disciples, ask. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Let's back up. It says, it will be given. There was no doubt about that. Not a maybe, not a perhaps. No, it will be. And it says, if you seek, you'll find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, will be opened. That sounds really clear. I mean, he was talking to the disciples and explaining this to them. And that's pretty exciting, that if I ask, I'll receive. Right. If I knock, it'll be opened. Luke 11, verses 9 through 13 says the same thing, but puts it just a little bit differently. It says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? That's called child abuse, by the way. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He wants to give you. He wants to bless you. Remember the scripture I read earlier? He's looking about who can I bless? Who can I bless? He is seeking. Now, when we look at the word ask, seek, and knock in these cases, it's, make sure I read this properly. It's called, they're Greek present imperatives. And basically, it's imparting the idea of persistent, constant prayer. Not just, or ask, okay, I'm getting constant, persistent prayer. The word says, pray without ceasing. Right. Constant asking. Jesus said, constantly ask, constantly seek. And you will receive. Now, I could stop there, but there's more. Mark 11, verses 22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Okay, we were talking about asking, right? Now it says, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Okay, so let me see if I get this right now. So it's, if I have faith in God and I don't doubt, and I keep asking, I receive. Right? That's what the word says. I have faith in God. I don't doubt. I ask, keep asking, and I'll receive. That's pretty straightforward, right? But there's more. John, the 14th chapter, says, starting at the 12th verse, most assuredly, again, you see the pattern? Jesus keeps talking to his disciples, ask me, ask me. I want to show you something in a little bit. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So let me see if I get this right now. If I have faith, I ask, continually asking, in the name of Jesus, I receive, right? Okay, Bible study's over. We can go home. Now we know how to do that. However, there's more to it than that. And it's real important, and we've talked about this at the very beginning of Deep Calls to Deep, Calls on the Deep. Study the Word. Study the Word. Don't just grab a scripture, oh, that's great, and run with it. I made that mistake with this particular series of instructions. Back in, I guess it was about 84, maybe 85, I needed a car. You know, my car was broken down, and okay, Lord. And I'm reading the word, and it says ask, right? Great, okay. And Lord, you know I need a car. And I'm going to church. I'm serving God to the best of my ability. So I stopped at those verses I knew. I have faith in God. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, so I get to receive. So I go down to a car dealer. I need a car. And it was great. A Subaru SL10. It was light beige. It was nice. My first brand new car. It was pretty amazing. It was also the only car I ever had repossessed. I thought I had faith. That's what the word said, right? I didn't study this out. And this is what happens to a lot of people. We'll get a couple of scriptures. That makes sense. That's good. And we don't continue reading. We don't continue studying. We don't pray. We don't ask counsel of those who are godly, who can guide us and direct us when we don't understand. But me and my wisdom. So I lost the car. But you would think I would have learned, but no, I blame God. Not that you've ever done that. And I pouted, and life got real interesting after that. But the point was, I didn't study all of this out. I read this now, and I'm like, now I see. But Jesus did say ask. You saw that. Okay. Now, John 15th chapter, 7th verse. And it says, if you abide in me, there we go now. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Okay, so I have to have faith. I ask in Jesus' name, but I have to abide in him and his word abides in me. What does that mean? How does his word abide in me? And in a nutshell, you know what that is? Obedience. Pure and simple, obedience. And as Paul Harvey might say here, and now for the rest of the story. I know you young people don't know who Paul Harvey is. 1 John 3rd chapter, 22nd verse. And whatever we ask, again, ask, whatever you ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. We keep his commandments. I had no idea. I mean, I was being obedient, but keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It could have just stopped with his commandments, but it says no, and those things that are pleasing in his sight. It sounds like to me, you've got to pray, Lord, what is pleasing to you? I've got your commandments here. I'm reading your word, and as Brother Colin said, you know, I'm following the letter, so to speak, but what is pleasing to you, Lord? How do I delight in you? As I learn to delight in him and keeping his commandments, all of a sudden I get these things that I'm asking for. Why? Because I'm being obedient to his word. That's all. Be obedient to his word and amazing things will happen. God has all these things in store for us. He's looking. He wants to bless us. But are you being obedient? Or are you just asking? Verse 23 says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son. There's something I wanted to talk about right there. When it says believe on the name of his son, it means commit, rely upon the name of Jesus. You rely, not just I believe, I trust completely. I rely on the word of God. You really want help with that? You're sitting down, right? You're relying on that chair to hold you up. That's what you're doing with the word of God. I rely on you, God. I'm not trusting my own understanding. I'm leaning on you. I trust you. And then it goes on to say, and love one another. So it's not just enough to rely on God. You've got to love one another as he gave us commandment. 1 John 5 verses 14. And this is kind of a reiteration. And this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. Now we can be confident in this. Why? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Why? Because I'm being obedient to him. I'm submitted to his will and authority. I'm trusting him. I have faith in him. And I'm asking him. So he hears me. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. That just sounds so, so simple. I mean, it's really not rocket science, but I think a lot of Christians, myself included, have stumbled over that too many times. I'm asking, and why am I not getting? Or, Lord, I don't get it. What's going on here? And the problem is, I am not walking in obedience. I might not be walking in submission. We're real quick to blame God, or at least I was, or maybe blame somebody else. Well, if they hadn't have done this, no, I can't control anybody outside of me. I can control me. So when I go to God, okay, Lord, what about me? My attitude, my desires, my motives. Now, I did mention something earlier that I want to get back to. We talked about obey and submit. We trip over that. We would be, when we're talking about the asking and receiving, some churches, they focus on that. And, oh, man, that's a shouting good time. And, oh, yeah, that is a shouting good time. I get to ask. I get to receive. But when I get to obey and submit, we sit down and get real quiet. Obey, submit. I don't know about that now. Or we like we have a problem with that. But you know what? We do that in the natural all the time. Okay, now, with a show of hands, how many of you have a checking account? Oh, so you know what a checking account is. Great. You know, there's another word for checking account. I had no idea. It's also called a demand deposit account. A demand deposit account. So when you write a check, you're making a demand on your account. Basically, you're asking the bank, give me my money. You're making a demand on what's there. You're asking. But you have a right to get it. Why? It's your money. But I can't just walk in the bank and say, give me my money. I could do that, but then I'd be escorted out by security and it would just be ugly. But, or if I just go in there and say, give me my money, and this bank doesn't even know me, and they won't know me anyway, because who am I? But, if I've established a relationship with this bank, and I followed their rules, oh, that means I obeyed and submitted. I filled out the proper forms. I signed things with my name. Now, I can go to the bank and say, give me my money, please. And they'll do it. Why? I've submitted to their rules. I've submitted to their authority. And I get it. But we have that an issue with Jesus when it comes to submitting to his authority. Now, he has so much more than a bank. Cattle on 1,000 hills, owns the hills, owns the universe, created everything, has peace. He can give you all of these things. All I have to do is submit to him. And he's promised to give it to me. All those verses, he said he will give. He will provide. He will do these things. But I don't want to submit. But I'll submit to the bank's rules every time. Make sense? Okay, good. Now, when you go to the bank, like I said, if you follow their rules, you have every right to demand your money. Now, obviously, you don't go in and say, give me my money. You do it properly. You do it, you know, with a sense of respect, and you get it. You know, we're sitting here under these beautiful lights, excellent electricity, heat's on, feels good in here. Did you realize we're actually putting a demand on the power company? We don't think about that. Doesn't cross our minds at all. We come in, throw a switch, we expect the power to come on. If it doesn't, okay, what's wrong? You know, here's the thing. Before the power could come on, somebody had to establish a relationship with the power company. Right? Somebody had to go sign some forms, follow their rules, and now the power comes to the building. But nothing happens until you throw the switch. It's the same way with God. When you're asking, you are making a demand, but not in the sense of, I command, I demand. I've got to have a relationship with him first. And that's real easy to do. I repent of my sins, baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of those sins, and be filled with the Spirit. I now have a relationship with him. By praying, I maintain this relationship with him. I strengthen this relationship with him. So now I can ask him. And the power comes on. Things flow to me and to him. Why? Because I am in a relationship. I am submitted to his authority. Now, sometimes, like if you go home, for example, and you know, you can throw a switch and circuit breaker might blow, right? Now, you may not have had that happen before, but try turning on a dryer and a hair dryer and a this and a that and the other, boom, the circuit breaker will blow. What do? You don't sit there and, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? You go figure out what's the problem here. Okay, I need to cut off these things and then go and reset the breaker. If you're praying, you've been seeking God, asking God, things aren't going quite, what's wrong? Don't sit there and whine. Lord, what's wrong? What have I missed the mark? Okay, this is where I messed up. Lord, forgive me. Once I repent, I flip the breaker back on, and now I have free communion with my Savior. Now I can ask, and now I can receive. He makes it so easy. If I've sinned, I confess my sins. I repent, and he forgives me. It's really, really that simple. Jesus has been asking, if you read through Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over again, ask, ask, ask. But you've got to follow the process. You've got to establish that relationship. Maintain that relationship. Jesus said, and so I didn't give the media team this scripture, Psalm 66 and 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So I don't, and notice it. This is another Bible study, the word iniquity. Pastor talked about that a little. Oh, yeah. Anyway. If there's anything in me, it'll stop it. It'll stop the flow. The breaker will trip. Nothing's happening. Day after day, week after week, year after year. And I'm not saying there, if you're not getting your prayers answered, I'm not saying there is sin. I'm just saying check. Check and see why the breaker is flipped, or if it's flipped. Only you can do that. Another reason, James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Basically, my motives are wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting a new car, that Lexus, but why do I want the Lexus? And if I'm really striving to please God, Lord, which one do you want me to have? You know I need a car, so what do I need? So then the Lord leads me here. Now I have to flow in his Spirit. Same way with a job. Same way with fill in the blank. Lord, what do you want me to have? Again, it's that relationship, because I'm trying to please him. I want to delight in him. I want him to delight in me. That is my center focus, delighting in the Lord. If it's not, I'm off center, and I'll start asking amiss. I have done that. I have asked amiss, and God, in his mercy, has blessed me and given me some of the things I've asked for, much to my chagrin. I mean, God wanted to be the king. He wanted to be the king of Israel. They begged and pleaded for a physical king. Again, we have to really want what God wants. We have to really seek him. Lord, what do you want from me? Because he wants to bless us. And, you know, if you line up with the Lord, those things you want, you'll receive them. They might look a little different than what you think they look like now. But when you get them, oh, my goodness, they'll be better than you ever imagined. Amen. And I'm speaking from experience. The bottom line is this. As a water-baptized, spirit-filled child of God, you not only have the right to ask, Jesus encourages you to ask. All you got to do is maintain that relationship with him. Love him with all, the L word, love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Then you can ask away. You know, little children have no problem asking their parents for anything. No problem at all. Why? They're confident in that relationship. Mommy and daddy will do this. Mommy and daddy are broke, but they don't know that, nor do they care. All they know is mommy and daddy, and they go to mommy and daddy. They are confident in that relationship. Are you confident in your relationship with God? When you ask, when you seek, when you knock, are you confident in that relationship? And you can be. Real simple. Word of God. Pray. Seek his face. You will become more confident in him as time goes on. It might not happen instantly. I can almost guarantee it won't happen like bam, just like that. But if you continue to ask, you continue to pursue, all of a sudden that confidence in the Lord grows. The confidence in that relationship grows, and I can ask him anything because my God will do this. My God will protect me. My God will deliver me. My God is right here with me. I don't feel him, but I know he's here. I have a final scripture, and the musicians can come. I have a final scripture and a homework assignment for you. This is Bible study, right? The final scripture is Psalms 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Lord saying, ask of me, and I will give you nations. Ask of me. God is talking to us as a church. Ask him for this community. Amen. Ask him. Ask him for Orange Park. We've been praying. Ask him for it again. This is ours. God, I'll give it to you. I will give it to you. Just ask me for it. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless this community with us. All we got to do is line ourselves up with God, and he will bless this community with us because we're walking with God. His blessings, his love will flow from us to the community, transforming them. Why? Because of God working through us. This asking, it's not just about me. It's not just about what I want. As God blesses me, it's really not about me. It's about you, strangers, people I come in contact with. Why? Because I'm walking in union with God. I'm asking him. He's blessing me, protecting me, and they're being touched. They're being blessed by this. They're being protected, and they have no idea why they're being protected. Why? Because I'm walking with God. Because I love my Lord. And they're like, well, why is this happening in my life? Because God is on me, and you're standing next to me. That's why. We are the Lord's inheritance. Through him, we can ask for the nations. Through him, we can ask for anything. All we have to do is line up with his will, submit to his authority, and watch his name be glorified in us. So your homework assignment, start asking. Start asking. Nothing is too big for our God. Start asking and continue asking. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything get in your way. Ask God. Seek God. Pursue God. And remember, it won't be about you. It's really about him. Because as he blesses you, guess what? He gets glorified. That's right. As he blesses you, his name is exalted. As he protects you and keeps you, his name is lifted up. People will look at you and they'll say, I don't get it, God. How'd you get that promotion? The Lord. Why aren't you upset, my Savior? It's a pretty short Bible study, but it's so important that we get this principle in our heart and mind, particularly as we enter this holiday season. We'll be bombarded with asking, asking, asking. Remember, the most important thing in all of this, seek God, pursue Him, and watch what God will do in your life. I encourage you right now to find a place to pray and just make sure the line of communication is clear. Make sure your relationship is strong with the Lord. There's nothing blocking you, hindering you, so that God can do what He wants to do in your life.